Well, good morning again, everyone. It's a joy to be able to worship the Lord together. We'd especially like to welcome all of you who are visiting here with us over the Christmas break. And we're glad you're here because 3/4 of the congregation must be visiting somewhere else this morning. But it's a joy for us to be able to worship and be together. Gail and I are certainly looking forward to going and connecting with some family this week ourselves and celebrating Christmas. Now, boys and girls, you've usually been dismissed to go to Sunday school when we have the message here. But in the last few weeks, we've been looking at some prophecies from the book of Isaiah and about the coming of Jesus, both his first coming and his second coming. Now, boys and girls, most of you have a word search that you're working on there that we handed out a few minutes ago. And it has words from it, from the book of Isaiah, that talk about Jesus and what he would do when he first came and what he's going to do when he returns. So you're going to keep working on that. But as you're working on it, listen to me and see if you hear me say the words on that word search. Okay? Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, thank you that we can look into the verses of Scripture, the story, the prophecies of the Old Testament, and see this hope, this peace that we have to look forward to in our lives. And so guide us and direct us, Lord, in the teaching and in the listening to your word this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. If you don't have a Bible that you'd like to use this morning during the message and you need one, just put your hand up and the ushers can grab one for you off the rack. If you need a Bible, one that you can turn to and look at the verses, please put your hand up and they'll help you with that. All right, so let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah began prophesying approximately 760 years before Jesus began his public ministry. But the book of Isaiah is a wonderful book of profound truth. And I have been reading through it these last few weeks. And what I'm finding is I'm cross-referencing back and forth between Isaiah and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because there's so many things that come from the book of Isaiah which we see then fulfilled in this life of Jesus. But Isaiah, along with all of the other Old Testament prophets, basically came with a very similar message. When I used to teach the grade 5 students in biblical studies in the schools years ago, I would always try to review and help them understand these Old Testament prophets with a basic outline as this. When the prophets came, as you would read in the Old Testament, they came with a message that says, recognize how far you have turned away from God. Repent, turn away from your sin, turn back to God. But if you don't, a great disaster will come. What kind of disasters came? Drought, famine, pestilence, plagues, but oftentimes when the people refused to repent, the greatest disaster that came was enemy invasion that would then conquer the land and take the people captive. But that prophecies, the prophets and prophecies of the Old Testament had an extra part to them, and that was this. They often promised, no matter how bad it gets, one day God will send a deliverer. One day a deliverer is coming. And we find that here in the book of Isaiah. Now, last Sunday, Wayne Tomalty was here, and he had an interesting little illustration about how we can understand or look at prophecy from the Old Testament. He said it's like looking at the mountains. Now, this week, Gail and I are planning to go down to Claire's home to visit my parents again. And for me, driving to Claire's home fills me with lots of memories. But one of the things I always look forward to on a clear day happens about Olds on Highway 2. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you get down to Olds at Highway 2, what do you start to see from the west? The mountains. Start to see them. And, oh, that's so exciting because, again, as a child growing up, we spent a lot of times in the mountains. In fact, for the very farmhouse that we lived in, my whole childhood, we could, upstairs in the upstairs room, we could look out to the west and see the mountains right from that window. And the mountains, of course, are an interesting panorama because from a distance they look two-dimensional. But as you get closer to them, you find out that the mountains are a whole series of ranges with valleys and rivers and so on between them. And that when you actually drive through them, it takes many, many miles and a lot of driving to get through those mountains. Prophecies the same way. When we read the prophets like Isaiah, we see what appears to be a two-dimensional prophecy, especially about the coming of Jesus Christ. And yet, we find out that it's actually a series of events that will happen with sometimes many years between them. So we have in the book of Isaiah prophecies of this coming deliverer and the one who would be born in Bethlehem and yet also would become a king. So turn to Isaiah chapter 9, and this is the theme verse we've looked at these last few weeks. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You're going to start hear some of these words, kids. Here they come. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with justice, with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So boys and girls, in these last few weeks, when you've been up in Sunday school, we've looked at some titles for Jesus. The first one was Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is a counselor like no other counselor because Jesus knows us better than we even know ourselves. And so as a counselor, he understands what goes on in our lives. And even more than that, he gave his life on the cross to die for us so that we could be reconciled back to God and so that our lives could be changed by the love of God and relationship with him in our lives. If you ever want to go to a counselor to have him help you with life, Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. We looked at the title that Jesus is Mighty God. There have been many kings and rulers throughout the earth, many who have reveled in their sense of power and supremacy and authority, and yet they've all come to the end of their lives. Jesus alone is Mighty God, the one who will rule and reign in a kingdom that will never end. He is a ruler like no other. He does not need to manipulate his way into power, nor manipulate and deceive to stay in power. He is God, righteous God, Mighty God. Last week, Mr. Tomalty talked about Jesus being the Everlasting Father. And his idea there is that like a father who wants to protect and provide for his children, Jesus will be a father to us. King of kings and Lord of lords, but protecting and providing for us as he rules and reigns. Now to this morning, I want to conclude with this idea that Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. I have to make a confession to you this morning again. As I've been studying this scripture passage and thought these last 2 weeks, I ended up with about 50 sheets of paper with notes on. We're not going to look at all 50 sheets this morning. But the Bible is filled with promises about the peace that God wants to give in our lives. Peace. What is peace? What is peace to you? If you thought about in your particular life situation right now, what would be peace to you if it could be given to you as a gift right now? I believe most people in the world are looking for peace in some aspect, some way. As I was thinking about this, I realized, you know, peace can come maybe in four key areas of life. Peace of mind, peace of provision, peace in relationships, and perhaps peace with the whole universe around us. Another way we can think of it is peace internally, peace externally, and peace eternally. God wants to give us peace in all those areas of life. But realistically, that kind of peace is often hard to come by. I was thinking about situations in our own community here and around the world, and I began to realize that peace is a rare commodity for many, many people. Think about this aspect of not having peace of mind. Instead of having peace of mind, what are people challenged with in their thinking? In your thinking, what takes away your peace in your thoughts? Any words that come to your mind? Anger? What else takes away peace? Fear? Oh, school's coming up yet. No. What else takes away peace? Deadlines, yes. You know, all those things. Here's some ideas I had. Our minds can be plagued with things like discouragement, anxiety, depression. Many people carry a sense of shame, failure, even guilt. Or our minds can be plagued with lies and deceptions, things that we think are true, but maybe they're not true, but they still control the way we live and think. So many aspects of life. And then, of course, add to that pressures and stress and deadlines and all those things. Yes, peace can be a rare commodity in our thinking. How about peace in our existence, in the provision around us? Well, a lot of people, especially here in Alberta, are having a challenge this Christmas season because they're not certain of where the next dollar is going to come from in order to make a living. Poverty, debts, maybe even the threat of bankruptcy steals away our peace. For others, this can be the aspect of sickness or of aging. The externals around us, our very existence seems to be challenging our sense of peace. Governments and democracies are crumbling under the load of unsolved conflicts and demands and so on. And in some parts of the world, war has even devastated people's sense of peace. People have been killed, property has been destroyed, many people are left widows and orphans and refugees. I just heard an interesting statistic here not long ago that there are more people crossing borders looking for peace and for employment than any time in history. More people are on the move right now. There's a great sense of unrest in our world. How about that instead of peace in relationships, we're finding lots of conflict as well. Mistrust, jealousies, competitions, things like unforgiveness and bitterness and revenge and family breakups and stresses. You know, I was even thinking locked doors and closed drapes in our homes kind of says, I don't trust my community. I'm not at peace with it. And, of course, the news only seems to highlight that sense of unrest. And then, of course, peace with the universe around us. There's so many unknowns and perplexities. Many are in anxiety about that. You know, we're hearing on the news that, of course, that our very existence is in threat. And there's lots of aspects that we can't seem to control. Are there spiritual beings there? Is there a God? Are we just pawns in some kind of cosmic game? And then for many people, the fear of dying, what will happen after death, all of that challenges us. But you know, Isaiah gives us a word of hope. And even though he wrote 2,700 years ago, his words are still messages of hope today. For unto us A child is given unto us, a son is born, is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, when Jesus came the first time, many, many people misunderstood that Jesus was fulfilling prophecy because they were hoping he would come to be the king the first time around, but instead he came to be the suffering Savior. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53, and now we're going to look at a few verses of Scripture and just trust that God will speak to our hearts as we understand this. Jeremiah prophesied that this coming child, this coming son, would minister to people in a way that they weren't expecting and yet would bring great peace to them. Isaiah 53. And I'm just going to read a few of these verses here. Beginning at verse 3, Isaiah 53, verse 3. Well, we'll start at the beginning. Who has believed our reports, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. John, the gospel writer, said in the beginning of his gospel, he said, "In him, in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. And all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Folks, brothers and sisters in the Lord, as we think about the unrest in our world today, for us, we can celebrate the starting point that Jesus has come to give us the peace of forgiveness, of love, and of reconciliation with God. It begins to answer the concerns of our mind, the concerns of even our provision, and certainly the concerns of the future and of eternity. Jesus has come to give us his peace. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Even Isaiah himself in chapter 26 says, "God will keep him in perfect peace, those whose trust in him, those whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Trust in the Lord always, for in the Lord Jehovah is your everlasting strength." So, Jesus gives us peace. Now, here's the challenge for us. Do we listen to the news? Do we listen to what's happening in the world today? Or are we first going to say, "No, I start from the foundation that Jesus gives us his peace." His peace. And we receive that peace each day. Lord, thank you for peace with you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And that's where I look at life. You know, the Word of God is full of promises that help us understand how much God cares about us. And I just want to share a few more about those. King David in Psalm chapter 4, he captured some thoughts about this peace. He said, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have you have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that grain and wine increases. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Boys and girls, have you found the word peace in that word search yet? Is it there? Did you find it? Yes. You know what? People are searching for peace all over the world. And here, David in Psalm chapter 4 encourages us, you know what? You can lie down at night, and as you entrust your life to the Lord, he will give you his peace so you can rest. I trust you're experiencing that. I trust that you're asking the Lord to give you his peace every day. You know, Jesus came to encourage us that we can know his peace now. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know that word guard in that verse is a very interesting word because it comes with a picture. In Bible times, as people lived in cities, they would have fortified walls around their cities to protect them from any enemy attack. And when they would see an enemy coming in the distance, they would close the gates and try to find safety inside the city. There would be guards who would be given the responsibility to stand on the city walls and keep watch for any advancement of the enemy in the distance. They would watch and watch and watch, and if they saw something coming, they would sound the alarm and the gates would be closed. That's what God's peace is. God's peace is like the guard on the wall watching for any coming attack, and when anything comes, God wants to come and give us the protection and provision of his peace, safe within his love. But you know what? In Bible times, the guard had a second responsibility on that wall, and that was this. When they would come under enemy attack, when the gates would be shut and the walls would be strong and the enemy outside would want to try to get in, oftentimes they would put the city under siege. Do you know what that means? What does being put under siege means? They don't let any supplies in. Exactly. They don't let food come in or water come in. And sometimes then if that siege lasted for days and days and days and days and days, the people inside the city would get really hungry and really desperate. And when it got so bad, sometimes people inside the city would try to escape. But as soon as they would escape outside the city wall, guess who was ready to pounce on them? The enemy army. And so the guard on the city wall also had the responsibility to make sure that nobody got out, because it would be to their peril. God's peace in our lives is there to set watch over us, that when we feel like giving up, when we feel like making a run for it, when we feel like I just can't stand this anymore, God says, no, peace, be still. Stay in the protection of God for your life. God will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. My brothers and sisters, this morning, we're also told here in chapter 9 that we've been looking at, that this prophecy is not just about Jesus' first coming, but it's also about the second coming. For it says here, the government will be upon his shoulders. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And this is where we're like looking at the mountains, we're looking at something that hasn't even happened yet. It's going to come. Jesus is going to come and rule on this earth. Now, I was thinking about this. Jesus here is called the Prince of Peace. Does anybody know any princes today? Do you know any princes? Prince Charles. Who else? What other princes do we know? Prince Harry, Prince... Who else? You know, Prince Charles has been prince for years. And what's been his roadblock to becoming king? Mom is still alive, exactly. He's waited and waited and waited and waited and waited, and he's still waiting. You know what? Most princes who are waiting to become king don't ever become king. But here Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and we can be absolutely certain that one day he is going to be king. King of Peace, the one who will rule and reign. And here's where the scripture is so full of encouragement for us. Jesus will be a king like no other king. Jesus, we know as Wonderful Counselor, knows and addresses the issues of every human heart. Can you imagine a king who knows the needs of every one of his subjects already? Who knows your fears, your concerns, your hopes, and your expectations? Jesus is a king who covers us in the merits of his atonement. He has already overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. He has conquered every foe, even death. He has given us the Holy Spirit without measure. The whole universe is at his disposal. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. He will be a king like no other king we have ever, ever, ever experienced. Psalm chapter 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is a description of our coming king, who will rule and reign. The prophetic psalm of King David really encourages us with these hopes and expectations. But Isaiah himself anticipated the rule of this king. In chapter 2 and verse 4, it said, he will judge between nations and rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Does anybody know where portions of that scripture passage are written right now? Do you know where that verse is written? I understand it's written at the United Nations. But has the United Nations been greatly effective in stopping all wars? No. But Jesus will one day. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that as we consider Christmas this year and the anticipation that our children have with Christmas coming, and as I remember what anticipation I had, I want to encourage you, let us be renewed in the anticipation that all the prophecies of this Old Testament, the prophecies of Isaiah, have not yet fully been fulfilled, and that we are anticipating the fulfillment of Jesus' return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, who will stop every war, who will quiet every nation, and will bring us into a place of his comfort, his assurance, and his provision. I conclude with a few verses from the book of Revelation. Revelation 19 says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 21, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. And then from Revelation chapter 22, it talks about the fact that there will be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in its midst. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no night there. They'll need no lamp nor light of sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and he shall reign forever and ever. So, folks, this morning, you may be leaving this gathering with yet some unresolved conflicts in your life, in your thinking, in your family, in your finances. But I want to assure you that the Prince of Peace wants to meet you where you're at today. He wants to carry you. And it's our privilege to be able to cast our cares on him, like it says in the book of Philippians, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, give him our worries and our fears. And yet, even as we let the Lord give us his peace today, we know that his work is not finished yet. One day, he's going to come and establish his peace over the whole earth. I want to encourage you to surrender to this Prince of Peace and live in anticipation of his coming. Let's pray together. Lord, the boys and girls have done through this word search, and they have found words that I've talked about this morning from the scripture. But Lord, even more than this word search, people around the world are searching for peace. And it's elusive. We're having a hard time finding it in possessions, in governments, in, Lord, the things, the temporary things we have around us. And yet, Father, you have promised through the prophets and through Isaiah specifically that you are going to come, Prince of Peace. And so I ask, Lord, that in this Christmas season you would renew our sense of anticipation that your work isn't finished yet. You're coming, your second advent is still coming, and we look forward to that with a sense of hope. Lord, may we be people of peace as we let you rule on the throne of our own hearts. And may, Lord, our lives be able to share this peace with the world around us. I pray for the boys and girls here, that even as they have a fun time over this Christmas season, that God, you would help them also to understand that your return is still coming, and we're looking forward to that. Help us in our homes to talk about the return of the Lord, the coming Prince of Peace. For of your kingdom and of your government and of your peace, there will be no end. Thank you for this, Lord. Lead us and direct us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Once we're dismissed here, Tim's going to come and sing, but once we're dismissed, if anybody would like to just have prayer about something in your life, I'd like to, and other leaders here in the church, we'd like to just pray with you for God's peace to carry you and surround you during this Christmas season. God bless you.
So as we live in a world that is very much in need of peace, this last song we're going to sing, Mark will do the one before that, reminds us that we need to go tell them that. And so this song says, go, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Is that one in there, Mark? Well, you know what? You know the chorus, and I'll tell you the words for the verses as we go. So rise with us as we sing.
Go tell it on the mountain.
thank you for coming out this morning, and may you have a Christ-filled week.